Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Swapping Spit. I'm Connor Mack. I'm here with my co-host and best buddy, Connor Kelly.
Hello.
This episode is a little bit special. We're here with our other best buddy, Joshua
Hello.
O'Connor, and we're discussing one particular album.
Yes, we are.
Josh, before we get into everything, I want to say welcome to the podcast. It's been a long time
It's
coming.
good to be back.
I
Well,
mean,
oh yes.
you were here for the Christmas
Right.
special,
But
and
that was before you went
that's
up.
not on
No, it's not.
iTunes.
So yeah, this is my first time on iTunes.
This is your first time
How
on
many
iTunes,
times?
so congratulations, you've made it to the big
How many
time.
times am I going to introduce myself on this podcast, like just the first time? Because I think this is like number
We
three.
want to welcome Josh O'Connor back to the podcast.
How does it feel to have made it to the big times, the big league?
Like the other few times I've joined this podcast, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's iTunes time now, baby.
Yeah, it is.
So it kind of feels like I okay, so once the episode's actually up and on iTunes, you're gonna feel a bit differently about the whole thing. You'll
Yeah,
see.
probably.
Yeah, you'll see. You're gonna get sponsorship requests and you're gonna get tons of free shit mailed to you. It's pretty nice, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, the paparazzi is really the only downside.
Okay, sure.
But it does make me feel special.
Okay, before we get into music shit, Josh, how are
How the
you?
heck are
How's it
you?
going? I know we talked privately earlier, but I think our listeners want to know how you're doing.
I'm doing well. Class is going well. I'm almost at the summer break, which might be my last summer break ever.
Ooh.
I'm hoping there's some job stuff coming in on my horizon, and my friends and I just got a patent filed, so hopefully we'll see something with that in a few months.
Well, on the behalf of everybody, hold on one second. I'm gonna pause it and see if I can stop that noise in the background. Actually, just don't pause it. Keep on recording. We're gonna end this. This is gonna be edited out.
Sure.
Predated.
I've listened to your podcast. I know this is definitely gonna get edited out. So this is where we talk shit about Connor while he's gone, right?
Yes, it is. I don't know if I should take point or you, but
I don't.
his diet is pretty silly. I'm very confused by it.
I would have gone for an all carb diet.
Right?
I can't live
I'm
without French
happy. I'm
fries or potato
right.
chips.
I'm happy for him. He says
Oh, I
he's
am
feeling
too.
better, but
He's
I mean,
back.
I need bread, man. I can't not eat bread. Not eating pizza.
Or pancakes or
Whatever.
waffles.
Yeah.
What was that?
Nothing.
Hey, Connor.
You talking about my diet? Yeah.
No.
Okay. Okay, so this is where we're gonna start the podcast. No, just joking. We're gonna start it back up from here. So anything you said off the record will be that's gonna be gone. So if you wanna
Sure.
say anything now that you might have said while I was gone, just so it's on the podcast, you can go ahead and speak now.
I'm pretty sure all
Don't
this
know
is
what you're
going to be in the
talking about.
podcast.
So you don't think I'm going to edit this?
No.
You don't believe me?
Well, I believe you're going to edit it. I think you're just going to not edit it very much.
Man, you know me so well.
I've known you for 13 years now.
How many years?
13, 14?
Yep. That sounds right, because Connor, Kelly, and I, we realized that we've known each other for 16 years, so 14 for you sounds, that is correct, actually.
Yeah, because it was
It's a long
fourth grade
time.
for us.
Yeah, fourth grade for us, second grade when I met Connor Kelly. So, Josh, before we dig into our album, what other music are you into these days? What's been on your playlist?
Well, I've been listening to some piano arrangements just this morning, actually. Yeah, it was a Zelda arrangement, actually. So that translates very well to piano.
Ooh.
I actually haven't been listening to a lot of music besides this album in the last week, because I've been busy watching a bunch of different shows, so the only music I've really been getting is the music in those shows, so
gotcha.
Theme songs and crap, like dramatic music, that sort of stuff. And plus this album we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
Because I've been on a couple trips and I have listened to my iPod a couple times at this point. Just the regular stuff that I usually listen to.
So Queen, Journey.
Yep.
Ruby soundtrack.
Yeah, a bit of that. I've been leaning a bit more towards the stuff I can sing along with, because I'm usually in my car on a 3-hour road trip. And so that, mm-hmm. that ends up being, like, show tunes, like that Scrubs episode.
My musical.
Yes. And a lot of Simpson parodies of things, Disney music, stuff I can really sing along to. And ruin my voice by the time cool. I get home.
Yeah, so as you can hear, Josh's music taste is pretty different from mine and Connor's.
It's varied.
Which makes this friendship even more unique and special.
That's right.
By that he means rocky,
like,
and
over the course of the last 14 years. Yeah. over the course of the last 14 years, I have been trying to share with you a lot of music, and at first, you were pretty resistant to us trying to get you into rock and roll music, but over the last few years, you've kind of changed your tune.
Now that was
clever. I mean, yeah. So yeah, I started off with a lot of Simpsons parody songs, that was really the first non like nursery rhyme, like all the stuff you usually hear as a kid, as like a toddler in elementary school. Just because we had CDs of it, and my parents would play them in the car to keep my brothers and I docile during long road trips.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first real introduction to rock and roll type music was when we started playing Sonic Adventure 2 Battle on the GameCube with Seek Escape, Metal Harbor, Open Your Heart. What's that other one? Ah, crap, I can't remember.
Live and Learn. Every track on that soundtrack.
What?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's great. Every track on that soundtrack, on that game is fire.
It's lit, fam.
It's lit. It's lit.
Oh, thank God.
It's, you know, they're all bangers. They're all bangers.
I'd say the ones I mentioned in like Sonic's theme. Those are the ones I would listen to.
Those are the best ones, but you know, Crush 40 really crushed it.
When you said
shout out to them, I'm not sure what they're doing now. I'm not sure if they're even still a band, but they made a killer soundtrack.
Yeah, it was killer.
They'd be a cool band to play with.
There are times when
maybe one day you and I, Connor, will share a stage with Crush 40.
Yeah, that'd be incredible. I'd love to hang out with them.
Actually, you know what would be cool? I think our band should cover a few of those soundtrack songs.
Yeah, we would just have to know how to play music.
And
Connor,
how to avoid royalties.
It's easy to play power chord versions of any song. You could translate it to a power chords, you know, pretty easily. It wouldn't be the exact same, but it would work.
Pretty cool. I would like to do like all the Knuckles rap songs. I think that'd be fun.
Those
are the worst.
That would be like the part of the concert where it's like your time to shine.
Right.
You know?
Everything else would just stop. It would just be me.
It's just you on the mic.
Spitting hot fire. Spitting truth.
That's what we need. That's what we need. Okay, anyways, so yes, the Sonic soundtrack was a huge influence for us growing up. And soon after that, Connor, Kelly, and I got into, you know, proper rock and roll music, like Green Day and MCR.
And that's also about when I joined the band and started doing a lot more like full band and orchestra type songs.
Yeah. You had your trombone and, you know, played songs like Fire Dance.
That was literally the first song I played. It was mostly a D on the bass clef. And, yeah, it was a really dumb song I played in fifth grade. And I've played a lot more interesting songs throughout my middle school and high school band playing career, including but not limited to Star Wars, Aladdin,
Fire Dance was straight fire.
Lots of James Warrington songs. Great Locomotive Chase was really fun.
And yet they'll never compare to your debut. So many artists suffer from that problem, Josh. It's something you got to just live with. You're always going to be in the shadow of your first release.
You guys brought that up like 2 months ago now, and it was the first time I've remembered that song existed in about 10 years.
All right, Josh, just face it. You're a one-hit wonder.
There's no shame in that. Most people don't even get that one.
It's true. Should I remind you of some of your... debut songs like Skyline is Falling.
Moving on.
Yeah, I don't think
it's a sunny day in San Francisco.
Well, actually, that was a good song.
Those songs are. That's a great song.
Nobody knows where Joe went.
That's another banger.
Yeah, that's a banger.
That song is piping hot.
A cup of Joe.
Yeah, just like the skyline is falling. Just like the skyline is falling.
That might have been a mistake.
Might be a little more. I don't know if that ever really turned into a song.
It is a song. It comes up every.
It's not still on your iPod.
It is still on my iPod.
Wow, we're gonna have to.
You gave me that mixtape album for my birthday back in like 10th grade or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was on that.
Before 10th grade. That was
But it was on that mixtape, and that mixtape is on my iPod.
Yeah.
Wow, Connor. You made someone a mixtape and put your own music on it?
Because back then I thought it was really good music. But, so Josh is into space. He's you know, very much into science and...
Yeah.
Planets.
Studying aerospace engineering right now.
So, anyways, I made a mixtape of a bunch of space rock songs. Mostly Angels and Airwaves.
The one I listened to the most from that is...
gave that to Josh as part of his birthday present. Yeah. What was that?
The song I listened to the most on that is that Blink-182 song. It's known as track...
Esthenia?
It's known as track 4. That's all I know it as.
the days of burnt CDs.
It's, crap. What, the one about the alien abductions.
Oh, Aliens Exist.
Yes, that one. Thank you.
That's a fun song. That's a really fun Blink song.
Yeah, it is.
So there had been many attempts of trying to get Josh into music, and slowly we'd get more and more headway.
Mostly through my own path.
I
started listening.
You are very stubborn, and It was kind of when, you know, we let you breathe a little bit that you kind of came into your own and started listening to your own.
Because when we used to hang out in Connor Kelly's basement, because that's where all the game systems were, I would be playing the video games and you guys would be blasting your music so loud I couldn't hear the game, which at the time was a big problem for me, and I didn't have headphones. I would need the voices in the video game to know what was going on next, because it was the first time I was playing, like, Rogue Squadron 2 or GTA or something like that. Or I wanted to hear the blaster fire from the snowspeeder.
We weren't very good at compromising with that.
No, you weren't.
Way back when.
I
remember that very well.
So, yeah, and then I started getting more into rock during high school. That's about when I became friends with Josh Opitz at the same time, and I started branching out to like Journey, Queens when I started listening to those when I was on the robotics team. At that point, I was starting to listen to Green Day a little bit, because that's when 21st Century Breakdown came out, and I really liked Know Your Enemy and 21 Guns from that, and that would show up sometimes during the robotic meets, and I'd always let you know when that happened. So.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, initially, we Connor and I were Green Day obsessed, and would listen to American Idiot on repeat, yeah. And Josh would get really frustrated at us. And
yeah, because I also,
one particular quote...
I also like...
One quote comes to mind.
I also like variety, and when you play the same album without any pause or different music in between, that's quite annoying to me.
Sure.
Even today.
But, yeah, so one thing I want to say, I think we need this on record, Connor. Yeah. And I kind of want you to be the one to utter it, because I think it
before you say sounds before best you do this, I'm gonna go on record and say I have no memory of ever saying this.
well,
we both have
it happens.
Have a very very vivid yeah.
And
we remember this in vivid detail.
It is pretty great. It's very concise. I quote, "Green Day sucks eggs." That's what we were told. Can you imagine how we felt?
To the audience, I am shrugging. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I honestly have no memory of ever saying this. It was probably late one night back in fifth grade. I don't fucking know.
It probably was.
It
almost
was.
Certainly was.
I'm sure it was around that
you know,
era of our friendship.
It was, we probably had it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you definitely had it coming.
We could be, We could be snobs about you know, music, and like Connor said, there was a lack of compromise on our part. So, I think from both of us, we do apologize.
That's right. I am sorry, Josh.
We're
I hope we can bury the hatchet
so
at this
sorry.
Point.
Yes, thank you.
Water under the bridge, hopefully.
It's been water under the bridge.
Yeah, is there anything that you want to apologize for, Josh, as long as we're saying sorry?
I'm sorry you guys had to bring that up, I guess. I don't know.
Oh! Straight fire.
Moving on.
So,
So through the years, Connor and I had, you know, we maintained that Green Day obsession. Josh was getting into his own. One of the biggest notable changes in your listening habits was when we kind of got you into NCR.
Yeah, because it was middle high school when Danger Days came out, and we all really liked that
yes.
album. And that's what set us off on this other project we have on the back burner for the last, 6 or 7 years now. I don't want to say what it is, but...
Yeah, 7 years this October.
Damn, all right. Well, we have the first volume mostly written. You just got to finish your story. But that's something that we don't want to cover in this podcast. We'll just tease it for the audience, and hopefully they'll see something in the next couple of years when we actually...
It's a big, and it's gonna be one of the biggest franchises in history, so...
It'll be a franchise in history, yes.
All right. Step aside, McDonald's.
No, I'm really excited about it. It's been a great creative outlet for the last few years for me, and I can't wait to actually see it get made.
Absolutely. It's our little baby.
It's changed a lot since those initial days when we were first listening to the Danger Days, which I still have on my iPod, and the stupidly repetitive song Na-Na-Na. Na-Na-Na-Na-Na-Na-Na-Na. I usually don't like repetitive songs. That's why I say stupidly repetitive. But I love that song. It's a good song to sing at full volume, barreling down the highway.
Hell yeah. I love that song too. And, we ended up seeing NCR and Blink together,
which was a
really fun time.
Yep.
Actually, Connor, you know, was there with us for...
Yeah.
For a good part of that.
Yep, that was
a good night.
Had a fun time dancing and just...
Outdoors at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center.
Yes, it was, yeah.
I also saw Journey there a couple years later. I performed there twice. I'm sorry, I performed there once, and I walked at graduation there the other time.
That's kind of a performance in itself.
Oh, if that counts, then I've performed at SPAC too.
Yes. So our
Well, I performed at the Pepsi Arena. Thank you very much.
Yep, and then you threw up right afterwards.
And I hurled chunks right afterwards. Yeah.
To those listening, Connor Kelly and I graduated from a high school whose class sizes are so large they have to do it at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center instead of the gymnasium, like most high schools do it. So the MCR Blink-182 concert was pretty cool. Who's the other group? It was like Matt and Kim or something like that?
Matt and Kim, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who were also funny. A lot of fun.
I haven't listened to any of their stuff since then. Haven't gotten around to it. But yeah, so I was listening to Danger Days for a while. I was also listening to a lot more movie soundtracks in that era. So like Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Harry Potter... that sort of stuff, mostly John Williams stuff, because John Williams does a lot of great orchestral music in movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to college, and in college you have a lot of time on your hands, especially as a freshman and a sophomore, or you just want to have something playing in the background while you're doing your work. And so that's when I started branching out more, and I was like, alright, I've listened to 21st Century Breakdown, I might as well play American Idiot, because those guys talk about it all the time. And I've heard a few of the other Green Day songs, like on the radio, or I like the...
Yeah, sure, of course.
So I
it would be hard not to.
Yeah, like, so like Good Riddance, Holiday, Boulevard of Broken Dreams, those sort of things are on the radio all the time. So I've listened to them a few times. Makes sense to listen to the full album mm-hmm. now. That's also when you guys started doing your album thing, was... So I was there from the beginning of that, because you would do it in the middle of our web chats.
So yep. Our weekly live video chats. And I want to bring up the fact that when we started this, it was going to be a three-way thing where we were the three of us would get an album each week and we'd listen to it and then report back and discuss. But
so
Josh, I think so far we've given you two albums that you've done.
So you guys have done about 100 albums now, or close to 200 now, maybe.
Just
over 100.
Yeah, I think we're on 105 or 106 now.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I've done about 3 or 4. I did Black Parade was my first one. And I loved it, and it's on my iPod now. I listen to it all the time, more so than Danger Days.
Nice.
Yeah, boy.
And then there were like two or three other ones that you gave me. There was
The Swellers, Light Under Closed Doors.
Yeah, then there was the Foxy Shazam yep. album at one point.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And Dying Stage, right? Or is that what he's on? Did that happen?
Yep. Hostage Calm, Dying Stage.
That is 4 so far.
Okay.
You did listen to that one, because I remember you talking about the song 1231 and where they reference a different song that you liked or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so this was 2 years ago.
Auld Lang Syne.
So this was 2 years ago.
I remember Josh listening to a Foxy album, though. What one was that?
I do remember listening to a Foxy album.
He listened to self-titled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do remember listening to a Foxy album, because I definitely went back to that a couple times, but I never downloaded it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was 2 years ago, and then you gave me this other album that I said, all right, but no promises, I'll get to it before Valentine's Day. And then Valentine's Day came around.
Valentine's Day of last year, or was it this
Valentine's
year?
Valentine's Day of 2015.
That sounds right.
Yep, and then the next Valentine's Day rolled around, 2016, and then the summer went by. And then you guys started this podcast, and then eventually we just forgot what my album was, because I never got around to listening to it, and was just too busy mm-hmm. doing all these other mm-hmm. things. And so you decided, fuck it, we'll just give them the new Green Day album, and so that's what we're here to talk about. See how it's all together?
We are.
Yeah, that was...
That was a great segue. Lead into the main topic of conversation, much better than most of our segues on this podcast. So yes, Revolution Radio, which is the latest Green Day record. Connor and I have been listening to it since it came out in October of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had plenty of discussions on this very podcast about it. But it's time to talk to a non-super fan about it and see what their feelings on the record are.
So at this point, I want to say I had listened before you gave me this album. I had listened to 21st Century Breakdown, mm-hmm. Dookie, and American Idiot in their entireties. Oh, and Uno.
Uno. Yeah.
What about Nimrod? Because I feel like you've listened to that too, right?
Nope, not in its entirety. I've probably heard a few songs off of it, but
okay.
I think Uno was one of the albums we gave you for an album swap too.
Oh, it might have been, yeah. But I definitely heard a lot of the trio, or the trilogy, when we would hang out with, like, George, and you guys would just play that constantly after the sun went down.
Yes, that was my Lake George music, definitely the trilogy.
So I have heard a lot of Green Day, just hanging out with you guys. I just haven't, like, absorbed, I've only absorbed the three albums I mentioned, or four albums that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to say it. So this would have been the fifth album that I've absorbed.
Nice. Yeah. So I think we're going to go track by track. We can, you know, talk about every little detail if you want.
I think we'll say a little, we'll say a little general, cause I do have a bit of a time constraint, unfortunately,
that you can remember. So we'll start off with Somewhere Now, the opening track. Personally, you know, I guess Connor and I will give our general opinions on it, and then we can get to your take. It's one of my favorite Green Day openers. I think it opens in a really cool classic rock kind of way. It's kind of a newer sound for them, and I love everything about it, pretty much. I think the guitars are cool, and the drums are epic. And the lyrics are as always relatable. Kind of a cool who-ish rock anthem to open up the album.
Yeah, it's, you know, a pretty big introduction, and like you mentioned, it's cool that they choose to, like, you know, experiment a little, and Green Day's always been good at, like, changing and growing their sound, so, like, I think this is a really good start. Not to, you know, to give out spoilers, but I like that it pops up later in the record, too. You know, it makes it feel very whole and circular, and that's cool. I don't know. The guitar is really cool. Josh, how do you feel about this song? Do you have anything to add in that regard?
Well, the audience might be able to hear my chair creaking because I've been nodding along to you guys saying this. I agree. It's a really good opener. I love the clean acoustic guitar in the beginning. I would argue that maybe American Idiot would be their best opening of all time, at least for that I've heard. Just because I really...
That's not an unpopular opinion. Right.
With American Idiot, I like it's just a quick guitar riff, and then it's just pow, like, right into it. Where this is a much more slow, gentle, ease into the song kind of opening, which is done very well. And I enjoy it. And I'm sorry. Ow. So, yeah, I tried to turn it on a little bit so I could listen to it to get a better idea, and my headphones were turned way too loud, which is why.
Oh.
Scared yourself.
A bit, yeah. But yeah, the middle's... I haven't quite caught all the lyrics yet, so despite having listened to it maybe a half dozen times at this point, and it is just something that's really nice to have in the background, and it's a good way to ease into the album, and I like that.
Yeah, for sure. It sets the tone for the album's themes, and it's a good start to the musical journey.
Well, where Somewhere Now eases you in, bang bang explodes all over your face.
Yes.
Am I so, right?
It does.
So this is the single that they put out like in October, right?
This is the first single that they put it out last August.
Oh, it was August. Oh man. So yeah, you guys flipped your shit when this came out.
Yes, we did. So here's my story. I was just waiting all morning for it to come out on the radio, and about 10 minutes before it was going to premiere, my power went out.
Oh no!
And I was like, "It's like oh fuck," you know, because I was listening to an online radio station, just waiting for it to come out, and I was like, "Oh, it's like oh yeah." I've got 3G on my phone, so I ended up using my phone and tuned in like right at the very last second before they premiered it, and I just totally lost my shit and I was dancing around the house. And then I remember Connor left work for a minute, and we had a very brief and exciting phone conversation about our first impressions.
That's exactly what went down.
How cute.
It was a very exciting time, and then I had work later that day, and I was like, hey, maybe I'll turn on the radio on, and see if it gets played again, and it did, and listening to it on the radio in the car the first time was really awesome as well.
Nice.
I mean, it's a great Green Day song. It's one of their more punk tunes. I think it's maybe one of the best harder, faster punk songs Billy Joe's ever written. And as a lead single, I thought it was very brave because it kind of strays away from the conventional, you know, pop song that they've kind of typically done for their lead singles in the past, like Know Your Enemy, which is kind of a, you know, more of a radio rock sing-along song, or Oh Love, which is kind of a radio tailored single. So yeah, I thought it was a cool and brave choice for them.
It's definitely a very high octane song.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, I'm just gonna say this right now. I don't know all the lyrics to all the songs yet, so I don't have the full meaning.
That's okay. I don't either.
So,
but yeah, it's a.
I do.
I know.
Of course you do. It feels a bit like an in-between song to me. A very good in-between song. But there's, mm-hmm. when I listen to full albums, there's definitely songs that stand out, and this is just like, it's like on par with Somewhere Now, just as a very different feeling, where Somewhere Now is very, I guess, mellow. This one's high octane. Very different types mm-hmm. of songs, but overall, roughly the same level. And at this point, I'm just waiting for the title track to come up. So, I like it. It's not my favorite of the album, but that can be said about almost all of the songs on this entire album. It is a good song. I do enjoy it.
I like it a lot too. Connor, what are your thoughts? Maybe. You know, now and compared to months ago when it first came out.
Yeah, I mean, when it first came out, I thought it was like a really strong, you know, lead single to throw out there. I like how many parts are in it, and you know, obviously the drum solo mm-hmm. is just like fucking awesome every time, even now.
Mm-hmm. And that bridge, I love the bridge too.
Yeah, it's cool, and and with the bridge, it's very, like, 21st, the way they do that. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good fucking song. The riff almost makes you think of, like, Bad Religion or something, which is cool. But, yeah, I mean, thinking about it in that vein of harder, faster punk songs, but having it be a Green Day song, I think it's also really polished. So it's cool because it has that punch to it, but it's also really streamlined. So it's a pretty good mix for them, I think. It's a good song.
Yeah, and I agree with the Bad Religion comparison, specifically the way that Billy Joe sings Mommy's Little Soldier.
Yeah.
Soldier. Right. That's like a very, very Bad Religion inflection, yep. In my opinion.
Like old, that's Greg Gaffin for you. I think that's how you say his name. Greg Graffin? Something like that.
Yeah, something. Greg something, yeah, definitely.
Pretty sure it's Gaffin. I don't get it. All right,
well, moving on. Moving on to the title track, Revolution Radio.
So,
this was actually the second song released in preparation for the album. And I remember listening to this for the first time in my car on my lunch break at work and really loving it because this is more of a power pop tune and it's got a super catchy chorus.
I love the chorus.
Cool. The chorus is great, yeah. Cool guitar solo part. And also pretty high energy.
Yes.
And to this day, I find myself liking it like a little more, like each time I listen to it. Even it's a very cool song. And also seeing it live was awesome.
It was a great live song. Very awesome.
Yeah. So, Josh or Connor, whoever wants to go next, we kind of lost the order, yes. but it's okay.
Connor, why don't you go?
Sure. I don't know, man. Like, I feel like for me, I don't feel like I like this song the more I listen to it. And I think I feel like a lot of times I fall victim to that whole, to thinking about the song as a single.
Well, it's not a single. It's just a pre-release song.
Okay, well, I don't give a shit. It might as well be. It sounds like a single. Like, it could have easily been that. It's basically...
Could have been, but it wasn't.
Okay, well...
I listen to a lot of songs on my iPod on shuffle, so when the opening guitar on this comes in, it's definitely something I will stop and listen to, and I don't feel like I've missed anything if I don't hear the first two songs ahead of it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, the opening guitar in it is really good. I don't know. I guess thinking about... Josh kind of mentioned not liking... repetitive songs, and I do like this song, and I think the verses are really good, but I feel like sometimes the chorus is just a little more bare than I'd like it, or I don't know. I feel like I've never really been sucked into this one. I really, really liked, and I feel like the times that I've liked listening to it the most are when I listened and watched the awesome lyric video that accompanied it, because I think that...
Mm.
Kind of really was able to like visually show me what I think the song was trying to accomplish, but like when I just listen to it, I don't get that as much. I think it's a fine song, but I'm not crazy about it. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this goes back to our whole the differences in the kind of rock we like, where I'm like back to the whole Joyce Manor thing. I'm just a big power pop guy, and you kind of like things a little bit rougher around the edges and a little bit more, a little less polished, I guess, too.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good example of where our tastes in Green Day songs differ as well.
I agree. But I don't think it's a bad song, for the record.
No.
No, yeah, of course not.
So, yeah.
Of course not, right? A bad Green Day song. There's only like four of those.
Blasphemy.
So yeah, I really enjoy the song. I love the chorus. It like Connor says, it's a little bare, and that kind of helps it. I think I like the clean sound to it, and
same here.
I just like the way I just mean, like the melody just goes.
The melody stands on its own, yeah. So well that it doesn't need much, you know, added.
Yeah, even if I'm just trying to work quietly in my room, like doing homework or messing around in Blender, I start singing along to this chorus.
Yeah. It's super catchy. It's in my head all the time, too. And
it's
one of my sister's favorite songs off the record, too.
Yeah, it's definitely a song I want to have stuck in my head. It's one I don't mind having stuck in my head.
For sure.
So, yeah, I really like the song. I wish it could have been a little longer.
Yeah, and the whole legalize the truth. parts are like pretty bad.
Well, that's what they're saying there. Okay.
Legalize the truth. Yeah.
Legalize it.
The end of the chorus always throws me off a little bit, where it's like the air guitar part, because it's for some reason I hear a G in front of air guitar and that throws me off every time. So
no, the lyrics are cherry bombs, Celine, gasoline, debutantes in surgery.
Okay then. See, I hear the
everything. Yeah, you learned something.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought it was broke or like a dead guitars in surgery at first, but it's debutantes in surgery. Billy Joe, you know, he's one of the singers that has a way of like saying words kind of in a weird way. Yeah. That like, you know, you can't really pin what he's saying at first, and then
you get it and it makes a lot
takes a while of listening and like reading lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So, moving on, we get to number four,
so,
Say Goodbye.
Say Goodbye it sounds very different from Revolution Radio. It's the guitars a lot dirtier, crunchier, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, very much so.
At least in the beginning. It's not my favorite, but there's something in the chorus. It's the way like the backup vocals work in this song that I really like for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hear the lyrics in this song a lot more than the other songs, more than the guitar in the background and the melody.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my favorite part about this is the backup vocals, and I like it. I like the backup vocals and how they kind of echo the main vocals.
Definitely, yeah.
Almost as much as I love what's going on Revolution Radio. So
nice. Yeah, it's kind of a dirtier song. You know, I love that the initial mixture of like drums, like stomping drums, and a mixture of like dirty electric guitar, and even like some acoustic guitar in the background, just kind of being an added percussive type of instrument. And love the lyrics. It's super catchy.
I do have one question.
Yeah, sure.
Are they saying say goodbye to the ones we love or say goodbye to the ones we loathe? Because that changes the song very much. I cannot tell. Let's go back to the conversation we were having a minute ago.
It is the ones we love.
It is love. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
That's what I was leaning towards, but it was just close enough where he could be saying loathe, and that could be in a very different
It could have easily been loathe.
It works
right.
Either way.
Yeah.
But it does change agree. The meaning.
Yeah, it's one of the more socially aware songs on the record, along with, you know, I guess Bang Bang, Revolution Radio, and Troubled Times. Mm-hmm. I think this one's got a cool guitar solo as well.
Yeah.
But here I think the verses really, really shine. And the backing vocals are great too. You know, I love it because you can kind of hear Mike Dirnt's voice, and in a mixture of him and Billy's voice in the backup vocals, that in modern times is a rarity for Green Day songs. So I enjoy that a lot.
Okay. It is, yeah. It's one of my favorites. So it's cool to hear that that you like it a lot too, Josh. It's a pretty interesting departure. Like, there's not really any other Green Day songs that sound like it. So it's cool. I think that they kind of took a chance and made this one. And yeah, I mean, it's just so fucking, I don't know. It's just like, it just chugs along at this really good pace that makes you want to just keep listening to it. I don't know. I feel like it's really infectious.
Yeah, infectious is a good word for it. I definitely start singing along right at the Lord Have Mercy on My Soul and Kindred Spirits Sing for the Sick and Suffering or something
along those lines. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and Connor's right to point out the solo, too. It is really, really good here in this song. I think this is one of the strongest tracks on the album, or at least it's one of my favorites. So I've enjoyed this one a lot. And there's some cool hand claps in it. So, what?
It's also one of the longer ones, isn't it? Oh no, wait. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it's probably pretty average.
It's a good length.
Yeah, it's a good length. It feels longer than it is actually.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good. I think
yes.
But I mean that in a good way. Because sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's because they have a few different parts in there that.
Yeah.
That kind of beefs it up. So.
Yeah, it doesn't leave you wanting more, but it leaves you feeling satisfied.
Yes, that's a better way to put it. So.
And actually, I love the way this song kind of leads into Outlaws. It doesn't really lead into it, but the way the guitar and drums just kind of go out with the bang, and then Outlaws comes in with the bang.
Yeah.
You know, the dan 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 dan. It's a really cool transition.
Okay.
And I guess now we're transitioning into Outlaws.
I guess so.
What? So Outlaws was my immediate favorite song on this record. Things I love about this song are like the little piano flourishes in the verse, Billy Joe's crooning in the verse. I think his voice is great, and the melody is just classic. It's like a classic ballad, and then it turns into this just soaring, powerful chorus about your younger years, but not in like a way that's pandering to youth culture like some bands tend to do a lot nowadays,
right, that we've discussed.
Blink 182, if you're not getting what I'm, if you're not picking up what I'm putting down.
Can't wait till I'm off from work and gonna meet my friend at the curb.
Oh man, but honestly, that's what I was worrying about, because this album came out after Blink 182's California, and I was like, man, Outlaws is gonna be Green Day's Kings of the Weekend. That's gonna be a tough one for me. And then when I actually heard it, I was like, oh, thank God, and it's actually one of my favorite songs on the record now. It was my initial first favorite. But yeah, I still love it. Looking back on it in retrospect, I think it could be a little bit shorter.
Yes. I will agree with that.
Yeah, it goes on for a little bit long, but it's worth it because it pays off so well with the very last part. I found a knife at the railroad track.
I do like that part.
It ends on such a sweetly somber note, and it's one of the most beautiful pieces in Green Day's discography, in my opinion. All
right.
Yeah, those are my feelings on Outlaws.
Connor, what do you think? We seem to be swapping between who goes second.
Yeah, I like this song a lot too. I think it'd be easy for me to not like it if the conditions were right for that for some reason, but I do think it's a pretty good song, and that Billy Joe is really good at writing songs like this. That's one of the things that I guess kind of defines modern Green Day as separate from, like, you know, their older stuff, but being able to make this kind of a track, I think really points to like how good of a songwriter he is, and you know, and just like some of his weird lyricism or lyric choices, you know, it's kind of like singing about hooligans and shit. Like,
he says the word hooligans and it works.
Right? Yeah, it all fits. So it's cool. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, the song, I guess I'd agree with you guys in it being a little long, maybe. I guess just because it's, I don't know, just kind of a sweet song. I don't know if it needs to be as drawn out as it is, but it is a really good song. I'm happy with it, and I think it works really well where it is on the album, too. So I'm for it.
All right. Well,
Mr. Joshua.
I guess I am the odd one out here, because this might actually be my least favorite song on the album.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Joshua O'Connor with the hot take.
So I do like the ending. And I guess this goes back to what I was saying earlier when we were talking about Danger Days and how I don't like repetitive songs, and Nanana's one of those weird ones where it is repetitive. The chorus is very repetitive, but I don't mind it.
Yeah.
This is not one of those songs. And the Outlaws part is just so... The chorus is long enough and repetitive enough where it gets stuck in my head, and it just kind of... It's just... It's on repeat. It's on a very small, like, 2-second loop in my head when I listen to it. And it honestly can drown out the rest of the songs after it. And that bothers me.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a fair criticism.
It's probably just the way my brain works. That's the reason I don't like it. It definitely is a little too long, though.
Yeah, I think it clocks in over 5 minutes.
Yes, it's the second longest on the album.
Yeah.
Right after Forever Now. So that's pretty much what I have to say on it. I mean, there's nothing that really stands out in it. That's the other thing. Nothing really stands out in it. So there's, like, Bang Bang is the whole thing stands out, and Revolution Radio has the chorus, Say Goodbye has the backup vocals. This is like, it's kind of like Say Goodbye toned down a little bit without the backup vocals, and that's why I don't like
it.
Okay.
On the topic of repetitive songs, I could see a pretty clear difference, between Na 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 and this, and I wonder if Outlaws was done more in the vein of like this super epic energetic rock song, if it would have clicked better with you instead of the slower pace, sort of like nostalgic.
If it was faster paced, it definitely would have fixed the time issue, but that may have also ruined the theme of the song. It's hard to tell.
Yeah,
that's true. But the thing about this song is that it's not even like the verses are slow. But the chorus is like it's very, very mid tempo.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I agree with that.
It's not like it's like pretty grand, and so I think a lot of it's like kind of hanging there. There's not a lot of like words to it, so it's a bit more like drawn out, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, one other thing I want to mention about Say Goodbye and about Outlaws is the bow guitar parts. Which I'm not sure if Josh you recognize.
I would have.
But it's like it's playing the guitar with a bow, like from a violin or something.
Oh, okay.
And and it's like right before the first verse, or right before each verse, where it goes, it kind of sounds like guitar feedback, but it's actually playing the guitar, the electric guitar with a bow.
Okay.
Instead of a guitar pick. And that's one of the coolest parts of the song.
So I had it queued up, and I started playing it. It was in the middle of it, and it went into the guitar solo. So I didn't. It didn't actually play that part.
Oh yeah. Well.
It's like the spacey there, kind I think of
it's,
sound.
It's. Yep.
I thought exactly that was vocals. I thought that was somebody doing some vocals in the background. Okay, that's it. You learned something.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I thought that was a pretty cool, addition to the background. Very easy to miss, though.
There's a lawnmower outside, so I'm sorry if that shows up in my audio.
I don't hear it.
It's okay, we can do some editing.
Sure.
Right.
Some sound.
You're
some,
gonna, just going to edit it all out. Just going to edit it out.
Get rid of it in post. I understand. Yeah, sure. So do you move on to Bouncing Off the Walls? Or Bouncing Off the Walls?
Yes, Bouncing Off the Walls.
I'll lead this one.
Is...
Okay.
So go ahead. Back the F off. You guys are like vultures.
Back it off. Hopping off your dick.
I wanted to say that...
Josh, you going to hop off his dick too? Or are you going to
you along
there?
For the ride?
I'm just listening to the song right now while you talk about it, so...
This song has grown on me, because when I first listened to it, I guess I just kind of felt like it sort of just like washed over me. It was kind of like inoffensive, and I'm like, yeah, like it's
cool. Because
you kind of
go numb from Outlaws, don't you? Just a little bit.
Mate, I'll level with that. That's there could be something there.
Outlaws is like Novocaine.
Funny. But yeah, I, like, especially I found myself liking the chorus to this more and more, just because I think it's a lot of fun to sing along to. I just like the feeling this song has. It's, you know, it's kind of like taking 21st and Foxborough Hot Tubs and, like, shoving them together into one track. I think that's cool, because this song has, like, a pretty loose feel that, I don't know. I guess I don't really, like, have a lot of thoughts on, like, I don't know. I guess the song on, like a thematic level or, like, what it's doing and shit. But, like, I just think this song is kind of straight fun. I enjoy it every time I listen to it now, so.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
That's my... I think that it probably does, like, some of the least of the heavy lifting on the album, and it kind of just gets to be there, but I think it's a cool track that I like a lot.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good summation. For me, I guess I'll go next, sure, since Josh is still jamming along to it. Yeah, Bouncing Off the Walls is my least favorite song on the record.
Yeah. I thought that. I'm pretty sure you've said that before.
Yeah. I have things I love about it, though. I love the guitar tone. The guitars are nice and bright and crunchy.
I love that, too.
I love how abstract and weird the lyrics are. And the chorus is very catchy and fun. But to me, this sounds like a trilogy B-side.
Yeah.
It sounds like a song that didn't make the trilogy.
It could just as easily be that. I think, like, I get where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't make it bad, obviously, because, I mean, you would definitely argue that a few songs on a trilogy are worse than Bouncing Off the Wall.
I definitely would, yeah.
Yeah, which is fine. But yeah, it sounds like something that could be off the trilogy with beefed-up guitars. But yeah, it's fun and loose, kind of like Foxborough. I think it's necessary, and it has a good part in making the album work, because after Say Goodbye and Outlaws especially, this kind of livens things up a little bit and kicks off the second half of the record in a fun way.
That's true, because the way it ends is awesome. The song sort of feedback, collapse, yeah, and
mm-hmm,
and fall apart, leading into Still Breathing.
Totally agree. And I like that you know, they didn't, like, fuck around with the feedback and make it, like, you know, like a friendly sound. It's actually painful to listen to.
Yeah.
You know? And like, you're, like, ready for it to end by the time Still Breathing starts. And I like that. I think it sounds... It's awesome that it actually sounds like it's falling apart and, like, your headphones are breaking if you have it up loud enough. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think... I agree with Connor Kelly. This is a very fun song. I think it's a good shot in the arm after Outlaws. I'd put it a little closer to 21st Century Breakdown as well. There's definitely a little bit of crossover between 21st Century Breakdown and this album, where I honestly couldn't remember if the lyrics that are bouncing around in my head, pardon the similarity to the title, if those were in Revolution Radio or 21st Century. Turns out they were in 21st Century. It's a fun song. I like it, and it's probably right about the right length it should be. And I kind of,
yeah, for sure. It's it's you know, definitely does not overstay its welcome.
No.
Yeah, looking at the track list, actually, it's the second shortest song. The only one that's shorter is Youngblood. So.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, so
next up is Still Breathing.
Coming up next, yeah, Still Breathing, which is the second single on the record.
Right, yeah. Well, the actual single.
It's the second official single off of Revolution Radio. And it's done very, very well on rock radio charts, and it's actually making a dent in the top 40 now, which is pretty impressive for a Green Day song in 2017.
Yeah.
Who wants to take the lead on this one?
I think I might. I also want to point out I'm kind of running short on time, so we should probably speed up the second half of the album here.
Sure.
Sure, yeah. Sure. We'll cut some corners.
Yeah. So I would say I really love Still Breathing. It's a great song. We heard it live. It works just as well live as it does on the album. Absolutely. I kind of have like a slideshow going by in my head of all the different. I'm not sure if I've seen the music video or not. If there is one, it's just something that's in my head. If I saw it, I saw it, and that's probably what I'm thinking of. If not, there's definitely a slideshow of like the ambulance driver and the soldier and all that going through my head. It definitely tells a bit of a story.
Yeah, it does for sure. Yeah, it's kind of a story of living through hard times and of redemption and
just getting through it.
Yeah,
like you're still here,
getting through it exactly.
You still are here and able to do something.
Yeah. Surviving. Yeah,
and I like that. I really like it. And
it's kind of like you're still breathing, if you will.
Yes, yes, and it's definitely one of my. Oy. It's one of the songs I know most of more of the lyrics of than other parts of the album. Mm-hmm. So I definitely this one will stay on when it comes up in the shuffle.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely it is a good. Song, you know, as we talked about, it's a powerful song and it's cool after all the shit that Billy's had to go through that, that the trilogy kind of deals with. So this was sort of, what feels like the closing of like an arc almost, turned into a really good, catchy fucking song and a good single. And I kind of mentioned before that sometimes I'm a bit more adverse to singles, but I think that this one is more than stands up on its own as well. So
yeah,
good on them.
Yeah, for me, when this song came out, it was really powerful and I instantly related to it, and something that I, you know, can relate to more and more. I think it's just a very powerful song and just has a great message of, you know, just trying to get through those darker moments in your life. And yeah, I think Connor, you're right, it does kind of mark the end of Billy Joe's breakdown arc, if you will, which starts with songs like, you know, Lazy Bones and Dirty Rotten Bastards, other songs on the trilogy, as well as 21st Century Breakdown and even American Idiot. And yeah, it kind of shows him reaching the light at the end of the tunnel in a very cool way. And one of my favorite parts about this song is the bridge, which is just, it's so, like, his vocals there are just super impassioned and powerful, and those lyrics are just super scarily relatable to me. And
Yeah,
so this is going to be one of my, you know, one of my top Green Day songs for a while, I think. So it's,
yeah,
you know, I'm very happy that it exists.
Yeah, I do. I also like the passion and the energy that's behind it, even though it's not really.
Yeah,
it drives forward. It does drive forward, and it's very.
It does, yeah.
Pick yourself up after something and soldier on.
Absolutely, that's the spirit of it, and it's great. It's, you know, powerful. Okay, so going into Youngblood, I'll lead the charge. I'm gonna talk first in this one. This is a song that I liked instantly, but I wasn't super crazy about it. But it's grown on me immensely. I think it's a super fun song. It's a kind of a quirky, fun love letter from Billy Joe to his wife, which is very, very sweet. As well as it's just a catchy, fun song with a fun guitar riff and you know, catchy chorus that, you know, could, maybe it's a little too repetitive, but for me, it's perfect. And, it's got a really, really cool bridge. I Want to Hold You Like a Gun. That part is super fun. And it's cool because it's the bridge, but it happens in between the two verses, which is kind of a little bit different. And then it's got a fun kind of, wild guitar solo. In my opinion of it, has only been enhanced after hearing it live. I think it's a very fun crowd pleaser, especially when the whole crowd screams "Fuck you, I'm from Oakland."
Yeah, that's fun.
That's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. So yeah, it's you know, there's not a lot to it. I think it's just a fun and sweet, quirky song.
Yeah, I agree with that. With everything you said, I just think it happens to be
one of the worst songs on the record. It's really the only thing I have to add.
So,
I take this over Bouncing Off the Wall any day.
Not me.
So, I like the song. It's just a little repetitive, but it's not as bad as Say Goodbye to Me or as good as Na Na Na, repetitive-wise. The bridge doesn't sit well with me. I guess I just don't like the sound of it. But I do like the verses in it. So the actual lyrics and not the Youngblood part, I think, are what saved the song for me.
Sure.
You are from Oakland. I am listening to it right now.
it's just a really fun part to sing along.
Oh, it is. Yeah, because it usually when a song goes quiet and it's just straight lyrics, that's the point is to highlight those lyrics, and those are definitely worth highlighting.
Yeah. Agreed.
So yeah, good song. It's good that it's short, though. I think it's good that it's short.
I totally agree with that. If it went on as long as Still Breathing, then I think it would be, a little too much. But
definitely.
But yeah, good one. So I'll start up, Too Dumb to Die.
Sure.
Because this one happens to be one of my favorites, actually. And when I first listened to the album, I didn't care about it at all. But I think this song is awesome. I love the guitar in it so much. And with all, the little abrupt stops before it, just starts, kicking back in. I think this song is some of, the best energy on the whole record. And I love all the lyrics on it, even the weird chorus, that I just don't even get at all.
He's lost somewhere over the rainbow.
Right, he just feels like a cello, man. I don't know.
So he does say cello there, okay.
Yeah, I feel like a cello lost somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, too scared to dream, but too dumb to die.
He must have taken something a little serious.
Yeah, man. Probably. But yeah, I have a lot of love for this song, and I think it's one of the best songs to come from this record. I really wish they'd play it live, but, hey, that's life. So
they have been sound checking it the last few shows, so I think they're gonna premiere it on their next tour. I think that's gonna happen.
Yeah. That'll be cool.
I guess I'll go next since Josh is still jamming out. So things I love about this song. I love the intro, the very distorted, slow, melancholy intro with Billy Joe just crooning over a really loud electric guitar. I love how it just fucking, kicks off right away with an awesome guitar riff. I think the lyrics are very cool and personal, and I'm a fan of the abstract lyrics in the chorus, where Billy Joe has actually explained that feeling like a cello means, feeling serious and somber and melancholy, I guess.
That's what the cello's supposed to sound like.
Exactly, that was his point, yeah. So I like all those things. I think it's a fun, pretty straight punk rock song. Things I don't like, and this is something I haven't really spoken about very much with you, but the second chorus, I don't like the hand claps in there.
Yeah.
They really fuck me up. I don't think they should be there. I don't like that at all. I love it if straight drums, bass, vocals. But that's a very minor gripe. I love the kind of breakdown after the second chorus before the solo.
Yeah.
We get some more dirty distortion again, which is a lot of fun, and it closes pretty nicely with the drums are just fucking so massive on this song too. I think Trey does a great job of just really fucking pounding away on those drum skins. It's one of the least notable songs for me, but I do really enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah. I didn't hear those claps when I was just listening to it now, but I do have it turned down so I can hear you two just talking. I like the chorus on this. I really do. The too scared to dream and too dumb to die lyrics make me think every time they're sung.
Mm-hmm.
This song makes me think. I'm pretty sure that's what I like about it. Not a lot of songs do that. I'm usually on autopilot when I'm mm-hmm. singing along, and this one forces me to think a little bit about what it's trying to say, and I haven't really quite come up with an answer yet, but I do like singing along to it.
Definitely.
Not the biggest fan of the opening. I know Green Day does a lot of the like the quiet, distorted intro, and then just plow right forward with the heavy metal. Well, it's not heavy metal. I'm sorry. The heavy guitar and their typical yeah, sure. sound. But this time it didn't quite work for me. I like how it ends. It has a nice, concise ending, and I like that. So, another thing.
Yeah.
Not every Sunday can be Easter. I like that line because the first time it showed up in Shuffle on my iPod was when I was driving home for Easter.
Yeah.
I'm just curious about that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a pretty funny quinky-dink.
And it's another one of those, like, everything goes quiet, and it's just like, those are the lyrics right there. You got to pay attention to them.
Yep.
And I know
it's also
a
very sing-alongable part.
I know I've been a little quiet when you guys are talking around. I don't really agree that much, but if the audio... I keep forgetting it's an audio podcast, so people can't see me nodding along. They can probably hear the chair creaking, but I definitely am nodding along to about 80%, 85%, 90% of what you guys are saying.
Oh, it's... It's all good. Thank you, though. Thanks for the reassurance. coming up next, we get Troubled Times. Connor, do you want to take the lead on this one?
Sure. I think this is a cool song. I like the rhythm in it. But I don't know. Honestly, when I think of this song, I feel like this is one of the most obvious, like, kind of missed opportunities on the album, or like I wish that they would say a bit more, because yeah, obviously there's places in this album where they choose to be a bit more politically conscious or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think I can't totally criticize the song, because I think the verses on Troubled Times are awesome. I think they really, really nail it, actually. Right? It's like, what am I thinking of off the top of my head? It's like, what good, where's the truth in the written word if no one reads it and all that shit? Like, all totally on point. Which I guess maybe means it's not a problem that the chorus is the exact same thing over and over again, but... It's still a gripe that I have, because on a song
that
does such a strong job in its verses, it feels like it really kind of loses steam in the chorus, which sounds fine musically, but it's just not really doing anything. It's like, yeah, no shit. Everyone with, like, you know... a pulse would be able to tell you that we live in troubled times, so it's not really doing anything, but overall I do think the song is good. I like this song. I just wish that it went a bit further in the chorus, basically, instead of just kind of shutting its brain off and saying the same thing over and over again. So
okay.
All right. Well, it makes sense.
It does. It's a fair point.
Any rebuttals or thoughts on that?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, for me, I really do like this song a lot. I love that it's mostly just the bass and vocals for the first verse, and then just bass guitar vocals for the second verse, pretty much. It's very, very, very cool and stripped back. And then, yeah, some of the verse lyrics are pretty smart and impactful in today's society and the world we live in. But I think one of the things I like about it is the chorus is simple, and it's like almost a cliche, but it's just so relevant to, you know, these times that I think it kind of even works. Like, I would like it if the chorus had a little bit more more pizzazz or more flair, a few extra parts added. But as it stands, I'm totally okay with it. I think maybe it's even more powerful without all the extras. Maybe if there was like a, I think the biggest part I have of the biggest problem I have with the song is actually is the bridge.
Yeah.
Because the bridge, it lasts for a few seconds, and the lyrics to me don't really make much sense. So I'm trying to think of the lyrics now, but
it's like we run for cover, not, like a skyscraper falling down,
yeah,
right?
Falling down. Yeah, it makes me wonder, like a troubled mind. Like the mm-hmm. yeah, the bridge lyrics don't seem very, very well thought out for me. And I think if they expanded that part and kind of worked on those lyrics, it would have been a much better song, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So yeah, the chorus to me is fine. I think the verses are great melodically and lyrically. And this is actually a song that they almost left off the record too. So they could possibly even think that they could have worked on it more or wanted to work on it more. I'm not sure, but yeah, as it stands, I think it has its place on the record. But I think it's a bit of a missed opportunity. You're right.
Yeah, I agree with what both of you are saying. I like it more than Say Goodbye. I'm sorry, Outlaws. Whoops. I was looking at the track list and just screwed up. I do like it a bit more than Outlaws, but at the same time, it is a little too repetitive for my taste. It's a little bland, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But not in the good way. Nothing's really clean about the stuff in the background, and
it's not bland like Matzah, right?
No, it's not. and it's it definitely will remind me of the latest headlines if I had forgotten about them for whatever reason.
And yeah, which is impossible these days.
Right. Tell me about it. So yeah, it's not my favorite, but not my least favorite either.
Sure.
And I just discovered that the
one of my favorite parts of the song actually is
to my headphone cable, so you don't lose it.
That's cool.
I've been playing with it this whole time.
It's cool. One of my favorite things is actually the lyric video that they put out is actually really, really powerful. It's got some really cool, powerful images.
I'm such a fucking idiot. When I mentioned really, really liking the lyric video for Revolution Radio before, that was wrong. I was thinking of this. That's what it was.
Okay.
So
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
I said about Revolution Radio, in terms of the lyric video, I think it was for this instead.
Okay.
I mean, Revolution Radio has a cool lyric video too, but this one is awesome. It's got a lot of commentary on society and Donald Trump.
Yeah, it was definitely It was this one.
Yeah.
Fuck Rev Rad.
It was MLK Jr. Day.
Yep.
And, it's a really cool video. Josh, if you haven't watched it, you should definitely give it a viewing at some point.
Okay.
But yeah, other than that, I think it's pretty much how I feel on Troubled Times. And now, I think this is the start of the grand finale. If this was a Doctor Who season, then this would be the first part of the closing two-parter.
Heaven
and
sent.
It's epic. Yeah, this is Revolution Radio's Heaven Sent. Yeah. So I'll start off with this one. Billy Joe says that the opening lyric, "My name is Billy and I'm freaking out," is the most honest lyric he's ever written.
Which is silly.
And I think that's funny. Yeah, it's funny, but it's true. And it's so simple, but so meaningful for a lot of people living in the world today, too, because there's a lot of stuff to freak out about. It's got a catchy first part. Mm-hmm. you know, Green Day over the years, or the last decade in particular, have done a lot of multi-part songs where they'll have different movements and suites and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is the most structurally sound of their multi-part songs. And that's neither a good thing or a bad thing, because the reason why songs like Jesus of Suburbia and Homecoming work, that's okay, Josh.
Sorry.
No one heard that. is because of the differences in their separate parts. But this one is super cohesive, and it feels like it's a song that actually needs to be six and a half minutes long. Yeah. And yeah, so it's got great melodies, and like Connor was saying, towards the end, my God, Josh.
Sorry, I can't help but fit it.
Josh keeps on dropping this metal.
Wait, I'm sure they can hear it. Yeah, I have a little metal charm thing that I made, and it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's like those spinner things you always hear about, but without the spinny parts. So
anyways, this song brings back Somewhere Now in its second to last part, and it's kind of a very power. Yeah, it's a powerful full circle moment on the album where you know, everything kind of comes together. Yeah, it's just a powerful song about kind of living an unsatisfactory life and wanting something better, which everyone can relate to. And it's got some epic parts, and I think it's a very, very fitting second to last song on the record. There's not much to say about it, but I think it's turned into my favorite song on the album.
Yeah.
Just okay. Because I just kind of feel it so much live. You know, seeing it live was awesome. It was just such a great way to close out their main set with pyro and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very energetic multi-part song, very sing-alongable as well.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Even though it's 6.5 minutes long, it does not overstay its welcome. So,
all right, Connor,
Josh?
What do you think?
Okay, I'll. yeah, I pretty much agree with everything Connor said. I remember initially being disappointed in this because, like Connor pointed out, you know, I've grown accustomed to kind of expect these sweeping, intense, epic, multi-part songs, and this song, right, is epic in its own right, but it's very cohesive and doesn't really stray that far from where it starts. But it is cool because, you know, I thought about it afterwards, and I'm glad that, you know, Green Day hasn't become pigeonholed, I guess, in having to make songs like that. And so just the fact that they can make a really long song that doesn't have to be as obviously kind of like Frankenstein together in some ways, is pretty cool in its own right. And yeah, the lyrics are really great. I love the Better Way to Die part and the background vocals.
Yep.
I think it all just comes together really well. My really only real gripe with it still, I think, is it's actually been a little while since I listened to it. I forget if it's the very end or if it's just before the Somewhere Now part. But where it goes dang, 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 and then
that's the very end.
Yes,
what?
The very end.
It is the very end. I don't know, man. I feel like. And, you know, usually I don't do this, but, like, I don't like fade-outs. But it feels like there should be a fade there. It feels like the very last dance should be, like, fading out, and then you'd have the exact same acoustic guitar riff from Somewhere Now come in there to close it out. But, like, the way that they do it just feels really abrupt to me. And that, like, still, it's, like, such a nitpick. It's a total nitpick. But since we're talking about it, I thought I'd bring it up. Otherwise, I think the song is very good.
Alright. Yeah, I do really like this song. It's a very strong end to the album. It definitely invokes the other long songs that I know from them. Jesus of Suburbia and Homecoming. More Homecoming, mm-hmm. I think. Mostly because it's at the end of the album. It has a very end of album feel to it.
Yeah.
I definitely hear this somewhere now. I'm just really stupid when I listen to music and never put two and two together before you mentioned it. I really like it. The ending is a little odd compared to the rest of the song. But then the guitar comes back and it's playing right now on my earphone. So I'm kind of, this is like a live commentary.
Right.
I do like the One Star Revolution lyrics that play throughout it. And
that brings the album full circle too, actually. And instead of a political revolution, it's more of a personal revolution in this song.
And you know, I do like how the guitars do the dan dan dan, and then the softer guitar kind of closes it out. I do like that a bit more.
I like that too.
But just imagine if the last dan was like dan.
We already had that in the bridge, though, you know, where they had the Somewhere Now reprise.
What'd you say, Rich?
Huh?
You say something?
Huh?
Oh, yeah. I just got my back from Price Chopper, and I was going to tell you something.
Hey, Rich.
Oh, yeah. I'll be done in a few minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
Hey, Rich.
He can't hear you.
edit that part out, huh?
Yeah, you will have to edit that part.
And actually, I like how the acoustic guitar kind of segues into Ordinary World.
Yeah,
nicely,
that, I think that's probably why they did it. But well, before
I
we
don't
actually
want to get rid of the acoustic guitar. I want the acoustic guitar there. I just want
the last electric guitar hit.
Electric
to fade out.
You want the electric to be a little bit longer at the end.
Yeah,
because
I want it. If it feels like the way that they do it, they just have two separate parts and they stick them together. And I feel like that way it would actually like transition into itself.
You know,
instead.
Now
that's all
I see what you're saying. I kind of agree with you now. I do think that the last electric guitar should be maybe a half second longer, fade out a little bit more. You're right.
There we go. I guess you're outnumbered,
like
Connor.
You
must be wrong now.
Yeah. I'm sure someone might edit that at some point to do that. Who knows?
I'm sure someone already has.
That's possible. So yeah, that goes right into Ordinary
Just YouTube
World.
That
and I have to say that I really love Ordinary World. It's it's a great acoustic guitar piece and reminds me a lot of Good Riddance, but it definitely starts a lot more happier and it's less of a goodbye and more of just like everything's all right. But
yeah, and appreciating what you have.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It feels poignant, a bit somber, but when it comes up, I definitely sing along. It definitely has a really good feeling at the end, and like every time it ends, I say to myself, this is a really good song. It might be one of my favorite on the album.
That's awesome. Very cool. Connor, you can go
Sure.
ahead.
Yeah, I do think it's a really, it's a good way to end the album. It's cool to have them have this sort of dedicated acoustic closer. Which I guess the last time they would have done that would have been on Warning, right? Which is kind of funny.
Yep, that was the last acoustic closer.
But it's a good way to go out, and like I'm sure you probably would have mentioned, but I think Billy kind of described it as sort of a calm ending after all the chaos that is the rest of the album, essentially. It's sort of the way they viewed it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that made a lot of sense to me. And, I like the simplicity of it. And it sounds very honest and...
Yeah, that's good. That's a really good, word to use for this, honest.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Yeah. No, I mean, it's nothing too profound, but I think it's a good reaffirmation of a very worthwhile but simple message.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know what it reminds me
of is
Somewhere Over the Rainbow, just thematic.
It is like that.
The sound.
You're right.
Because it does
right.
sound a bit...
The guitar strumming pattern and the chord.
Yeah, it sounds very close to ukulele.
You're right. Yeah, it does. Ordinary World is, I think it's a great closer. The message, I think it actually complements Forever Now and Somewhere Now and songs like Still Breathing because... and To Them to Die, because they're all kind of about being unsatisfied with what's happening in your life right now. And this kind of closes that theme with kind of realizing that what you have is enough, and to appreciate the things you do have and do cherish in your life. And I think that's a huge, a really strong message for people today, especially when I feel like unsatisfaction is at an all-time high, or dissatisfaction. And
it's also a really fun song live.
It is. It was a great song live. And Connor and I we heard it live the very first time it was played for anybody.
Yep.
Nice.
Before it was even on a Green Day album. we heard its live premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival last year. It was awesome then. We had no idea it would turn into a Green Day song. And that's actually, it's a song that goes with Billy Joe's, the movie he was in, which is titled Ordinary World.
Mm-hmm. But wasn't and, when we saw it.
It wasn't. It was called Geezer when we saw it. It's changed names. But yeah, so it's a great movie. It's a fitting end to Revolution Radio. And honestly, in my opinion, it does stand up with songs like Good Riddance and Macy's Day Parade.
Definitely.
I think it's a fitting addition into Green Day's acoustic catalog.
Yeah. It was definitely a lot of fun listening to, hearing this, and then hearing, they did American Idiot, then they did this, and then they did Good Riddance, and I think that was a really good way to end their show when we went to go see them about a month and a half ago.
It was. Yeah, a month and a half ago. Before we wrap this up, Josh, do you want to just give us your thoughts on seeing your first Green Day show on the podcast?
You mean a podcast that's getting released?
Yes, this time.
To pull back the curtains.
Okay, quick backstory. This is the second time we've recorded this podcast, and somebody was too drunk to finish it. I'm not going to name names.
It was both of the Connors.
No, it was all me. I'm going to take the blame for that one.
Yeah.
Well, I'll still take partial responsibility both for being drunk and getting Connor drunk, so...
Yeah. You had good reason at the time. We were...
Yeah.
It's the first time we were all together in several months, and I'm sorry about those motorcycles, but a lot of people in Worcester don't have very big penises.
Bam! Josh is burning it up.
I've been sleeping a lot better lately, so I feel like my wit is on point.
It's razor sharp.
Yes, I've also spent the last 3 evenings at a comedy festival, so I've been exposed to a lot more comedy, and I've been watching some shows that have a lot of dry wit that's very sharp in it, and that really inspires me.
That's great.
So yeah.
Well, we're glad that you're feeling good.
Yeah, about beginning of St. Patrick's Day 2017, we went to go see Green Day here in Worcester, and it was a lot of fun. I got to see a couple old friends. I nearly lost my hearing. I nearly went blind. This is because I would have lost my hearing entirely if I was not wearing earplugs. It sounded the entire time like I was wearing headphones that were turned up way too loud, even though I was wearing earplugs. And I kept going blind because I was sitting with a friend of ours who is unfortunately confined to a wheelchair up in the handicap section of the arena, and that's exactly where all the lasers and bright lights flash to. So you'd be looking at stage, and then all of a sudden you're completely blind. And it was probably a little different for the two of you down in the pit, but
It was still bright and loud.
Yes, definitely. I took one of the earplugs out for American Idiot because I love that song and wanted to hear it as it's supposed to be heard in an arena, I guess. Mm-hmm. My logic wasn't very sound there. I definitely had a headache afterwards. and then I definitely took my earplugs out for the two acoustic songs at the end because they were acoustic and I didn't realize how much you could amplify an acoustic guitar in an arena. It was really loud.
It was still super loud, yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. I loved going. I loved the whole night. They played just about every song I could have wanted them to play. All the songs I would have been able to sing along to, except perhaps Nuclear Family or... oh, damn it. What was... There was another one I realized afterwards...
Maybe Homecoming would have been another one I would like to hear, but I feel like that's that not been something they really play on tour that often.
No, it's not.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. Every time a song came on that I liked, I was definitely like air drumming along, because that's what I do when I'm excited. I'd sing along when I knew the lyrics.
Nice.
It was interesting hearing some other songs that I didn't know, like that 2,000 Light Years Away, which is apparently a rare one, a rare one, according to you. And then did a few covers of some other songs in the middle. It was very interesting seeing them perform live.
It's a fun live experience, all, you know, for anybody, I think. It's
might be something I'll do again in another 5 or 6 years, because that's how long I need to recover after concerts.
Because it was fun going to see them with you, but we weren't really with you. No. So next time, we're all three of us are going to be in the pit together, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Josh, don't worry. We're going to be in the back of the pit. We're not going to be in the front. We'll be in the back of the pit with a good view and just chilling out, having a good time.
I was there at the tamest pit of any show I've ever been to. That
had the tamest pit, you said?
Yeah. I feel like Yeah, I remember talking about that, but that would have been a good pit to be in, to be honest.
It would,
It didn't look like much.
There were
going
a few crowd
there.
Surfers here and there, but
most
it was
of the crowd
tame.
Surfers were the people who got to go up on stage and play with Green Day, which I thought was a really neat thing, especially for that preteen who got to go up and was like just starting to learn guitar, and then he's up there playing guitar with his hero and got to keep the guitar. I thought that
was awesome.
Really, really fucking cool.
It was very, very cool. Yeah, yeah. They really know how to capture an audience.
Yes. And before everything started, the crowd was singing Bohemian Rhapsody, which is...
I know.
That was a lot of fun.
Hearing an entire arena singing along to that song is a spiritual experience.
It's half an arena,
it's
to
so
be fair, but...
Cool.
It was a big arena.
It was very cool. Yeah, yeah. Very, very cool. That about wraps everything up.
Yeah.
Josh, do you have any other thoughts you want to share on Green Day or on Rev-Rad?
Not really. I do have to get going, though, because it's about 45 minutes later than I wanted to stay.
All right, sure.
Talk about.
Just Connor.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we leave, we have to assign Josh a new album.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
About that.
Do we? Wow.
We do.
I wasn't prepared for this.
Crap.
What do you think, real quick? Maybe, hey, how about this idea? How about this? Why don't we just give him a different Green Day album that he hasn't listened to?
I think that's a very, very good idea.
Okay, so then where do we go from there?
Oh, wait. I've got two options for you, okay?
Sure.
Either Nimrod or Trey.
I would actually lean towards Nimrod, because I know... Good Riddance is on that one. Am I right there?
You are.
Correct. You're correct.
So there's a song on there that I would already be familiar with. And that's definitely a good way to start, to get into an album, is having something there to start with.
Yeah.
Sure. Those are good options, and I'd be happy to lean into that direction for Josh. So yeah, let's give him Nimrod.
Nimrod it is, Josh. So you've got 1 week to listen to it. All right,
I'll see you guys
get back to us
when I'm back on the podcast after listening to this. it's been fun, and hopefully I'll talk to you all about the 4th of July.
Hey, it's okay. When we say we do our albums every week, sometimes it takes a month, too. So
sometimes it does, yeah. Josh, we'll see you next Easter for our Nimrod podcast.
All
right, cool, Josh. Well, thank you for sticking with us and being our first guest.
Your last.
We really appreciate
it. Yes, we do. I wouldn't have it any
other way. Our first
and
last guest before we end the podcast. We love you, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. All right, take care, guys.
And
peace.
See you, Josh. All right, well, I didn't stop recording.
I didn't either.
For everybody else...
I thought you might want to do a sign-off thing, so...
And for everybody else,
keep
spitting.
Why do you say keep spitting?
Keep spitting. It's like a funny thing now. It's a funny thing now where I say keep spitting and you say keep on spitting. It's like a bit we do.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that a bit, though?
Let's go again. Let's try again. What?
Is it really a bit, though?
It's a bit now. Ready? For everyone else,
keep on
spitting. There we go. Classic.
Oh boy.